Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be worshiping the Lord today with you. I'm sure we talk to the Lord every day and we pray and have our relationship with God and have our prayer closet. And it's a wonderful thing that Jesus walks with us no matter if we're just by ourselves. You know, God is with us. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I praise God for the corporate worship as God has ordained us to assemble together, to love one another, thank you, to pray together, to worship God, sing together, the fellowship. This journey for God and for the Lord sometimes gets difficult, and we need all the encouragement we can get. We need all the inspiration we can get. I don't know of any Christian that doesn't need help and encouragement from time to time, more so than maybe other times. So I'm thankful for the value of the church and the strength and the benefits that come to us when we gather together and we worship the Lord and we minister one to another encouragement and we preach the word and just love each other. Everybody needs love, you know that? One of the greatest benefits ever that's come your way during your life is to know that somebody really does care for you. Really does. And probably more than one. You could probably count your parents. But some people don't have parents. And some people don't have grandparents. And some people, there are people who really are isolated and lonely. And God loves them too. But just to know a mother's love or a father's love or a brother's love or sister, to love your parents. Parents love children. The different relationships. Friends and family. To love. That you're important to somebody. You're really, really important to somebody. And there are people who think you are very, very special. And that begins with God, of course. And then His people. And family. And blood kin. And that sort of thing. But I praise God for the love that God has given to us. I felt impressed this morning just to tell people, God loves you. You know, just somebody needs to be reminded of that. Maybe there's somebody here today that just needs to hear that. That God really knows what you're going through. He knows the difficult time that you're having right now. The adversity maybe, or infirmity. Trouble. Stress. Challenges. Whatever. God, in His Word, has assured us that He cares for you and that He wants you to cast your care upon Him and to lean on Him, trust Him. Come to God just like you are, with all of your problems, all the difficulties. Don't think you got to straighten it out and then come. Come as you are. And today I hope that all of you feel comfortable here and that you feel welcome, that you feel loved. You that are new, we want you. I told someone, these ladies right here, don't feel like a visitor now. Come on. Just feel at home. We want you to, you know, all that we can do, we want you to feel God and feel love and the care that God has for you. And, of course, God does that through people. So I hope that you feel that way. And, again, thank you for being here today. Our regulars and all those that are visiting and those who are coming back. So good to see all of you today. Hallelujah. All right. I want to talk to you about a subject. And I think most of you, if not all of you, have heard this phrase or this saying. It's called show and tell. Show and do they still do show and tell in school? I don't know. I know they did a long time ago. Show and tell. You know what that is, don't you? How many of you know what that show and tell indicates? Okay. Well, the Bible has many examples, not only in stories, but also in the Psalms and all throughout the Bible, this principle of show and tell, or tell and show. And we're more perhaps familiar with the telling part than the showing part. Let me give you an example. In Revelation, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 1. And we'll see this, and then we'll go back to the Psalms. Just to show, and I'm just picking a few samples, and I'm going to rattle off several verses that, and we're not even going to put them on the wall, but just real quickly, just to show you, there's that word, to show you this principle of show and tell. I'm going to emphasize the show part. show part. For example, your Bible is full of text. It's primarily text. Now, you may have a study Bible. You may have some maps in the back. You may have, like some family Bibles will have pictures in it. But primarily, the Bible is a textbook. It's a book of texts. It's a book of words. This is called the Word of God and the words of God. And the Bible says every word of God is pure. And so this is the foundation of our faith. This is the source of our faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So this is our textbook. It really is. But it came to me this week that the books that I've enjoyed as a child, and even today, the books that I've enjoyed other than the Bible, are the books that have pictures in them. Now, children like that, in most children's books, if you get a child's book, it won't be just text. You know that, right? What will be in a children's book or a children's Bible? And the textbooks and the books at school that they have, you take a child's book, it is different than a novel, perhaps, or a textbook like for college. Because in a child's book, you have a lot of pictures. Because with children, as we're educating them and as we're training them, we know that to learn and to receive the things that they need to learn, the show and tell is the best approach. It really is. And I want to tell you today that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost has provided the pictures for this book. He has provided the words, but He also provides the pictures. And God wants you to see the kingdom of God. He wants you to see where you can say, oh, yeah, I see. Yeah, I see. I see. And it's kind of a metaphoric thing. Maybe not literally see, like, and maybe a literal seeing, like a vision or a dream or something. The Bible said in the last days, the old men will dream dreams. The young men will see vision. They'll see visions. But typically, in the Bible, when it talks about showing, it's metaphoric in the sense of you read the Word or you hear the Word, and God has given you the capacity to see it, to see it. Oh, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. And it means that it comes together, and you, in your internal imagination, in your mind, and in your heart, or when you see it, like today, you're going to see baptism. You read about baptism. Well, today you're going to see a picture of baptism because we're going to do it. So you have the text of baptism, and then we're going to show it. So in your mind, when you these people that are going to be baptized today, they when you say baptism to them, or for the rest of their life, when someone asks them, "Have you been baptized?" They're going to have a picture image in their heart of this day today, right here today. They're going to see baptism. In Revelation, we see this in first chapter, starting right at the first verse. Here is God's way of directing your life. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. It's a revelation that God gave to Jesus Christ. To show. Do we have that on the board? Okay, I want you to see that. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So this book is a revelation of Jesus Christ that God the Father gave to Jesus. Why? To show. Now, in the book of Revelation, you find quotes where angels or the Lord speaks to John and there's dialogue, there's speech. In other words, John is being told certain things. He's being told. But it begins by saying, to show unto his servants, not just John, but to his servants. That would be us. To show unto his servants. That's why God gave it to Jesus. To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified. Signify means a sign. A sign is something that you see. So he signified this revelation by the angel and gave it to John. So it comes from God the Father to Jesus, and then Jesus to the angels, and then to the angels to John, and then John to us. And so when you read the book of Revelation, I don't have pictures in my Bible. But the Bible says that this is a word that has been signified. It is intended that the book of Revelation have pictures. Sign. Something you can look at. That's what a sign is. And it says to show. To show. And of course the word of God is not just words on a page, but it's spiritual. It's the word of God. And so we read the text of Revelation. And you'll notice, if you read the book of Revelation, you study it especially, you can say, wow, that man. It's picturesque. It's like an album. It's like a pictorial album, the book of Revelation. The language is ordered by God to create images where you can see that throne room. The colors are described. The inhabitants of the throne room are described. How they're sitting. In what order are they sitting? Who's the closest to the throne? Who's on the peripheral of the throne? What's in the floor in front of the throne? I mean, it's a description. And you cannot help from picturing that as you read Revelation. It's supposed to be a show and tell operation. Now, that's Revelation and that's prophecy, and it certainly, when I read the book of Revelation, I can just see it. I can see it. Armageddon, you read about Armageddon. Man, you see it. Yeah, it talks about a particular river. It's going to dry up. Armies of the East are going to come over. Wow. Talking about the northern nation that's going to come down in Ezekiel to attack Israel in the last day. You read that and you can see it. Especially if you look at them, you pull up the map in the back of your Bible, you just see exactly what is being described. It's descriptive language. And spirituality is supposed to be based upon the Word of God that touches your life to the extent that you can see it. When Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, he talked about seeing it. Not just hearing about the kingdom. He said, unless you're born again, you cannot. He said that to Nicodemus. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, the converse of that is true. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, and you're a Christian, and God lives within you, you cannot just hear about the kingdom, but he said, see it. Well, in Psalms chapter 19, let's put that on the board. Psalms 19:1. Look at this. This shows you this is not just for Revelation. And it's not just the Bible with text. But it shows you what God really wants to do. I want you to look at this. The heavens declare the glory of God. There's the speech. The heavens declare. That's okay. I know what a declaration is. Somebody makes a pronouncement. It's called a declaration. The heavens do that. So even before the Bible was written, all of humanity could look into the heavens at night and in the daytime and see the moon and the stars and the sun and all that. And it speaks to them. The heavens were signs. The stars and the planets were given to us, the moon and the sun, for times and for seasons, for signs and for seasons. So the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, look at this, showeth. So you got two things. And you'll see that all throughout the Word of God. Two things. God's going to tell you, and God's going to show you. That doesn't mean you'll see it. Just like if God speaks, it doesn't mean that you're going to hear it, because the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, let him hear, may not hear it. Doesn't mean God's not talking. A lot of people are not listening. And it's the same thing with show as it is with tell. A lot of people, they see the heavens, they see the creation, they see the wonderful thing, and they don't hear a thing. The declaration falls on deaf ears. What about the showing? Well, if you don't hear it, you're probably not going to see it. Because the hearing is the foundation. That comes first. The Word of God is the foundation of my faith, not what I see. But when I'm in the Word of God, it must be that I can see its application. I can see examples of that Word. It's not just theory. Theology is the study of the Bible, but it was never intended to remain just a study. It was intended to change people's lives, and when the change comes up, that's what the Bible says. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. That's what I read in the Bible. That's the declaration. That's the Word of God, and I must say, I believe it. Now I know that God wants me to see that happen. Not only in my life, but I as a Christian, as a leader, as a preacher, as a witness, I should be able periodically to see examples of that text applied in the real life at the ranch where people are really at. And people actually do become new creatures in Christ. Dirty, rotten sinners can be saints in about, I calculate, about 5 minutes. At the point of faith, the grace of God saves. And the Bible declares that you're a new person. So your wife or your husband or your kids ought to see that. If you're a new person, somebody is going to see it. It's going to be a show, not just a tell, but a show. And God's putting on a big show now, and you don't want to miss it. Whether you see it or not, let me tell you, I don't know where you are with the Lord, but I want to tell you this. God is doing great and mighty things, and He wants you to behold it. All throughout the Bible, behold! You ever notice that? Right before a declaration sometimes. Behold! Hark! Verily, verily, I say unto you. Ooh. And God will say something. And the mountain moves. The Red Sea parts. People fall over dead. That's the enemies of God's people. It's a show. All throughout the... That's why kids love the Bible. Even if it doesn't have pictures, kids can provide their own pictures. Oh, you say kids have such an imagination. Absolutely. And so the pictures of the Bible, the pictures of theology, are that personal creation of the Holy Ghost in your individual life. And nobody may see what you see. It may be God tells you don't say it to anybody else, like Paul did. He saw things. He was caught up to the third heaven. He heard things. He saw things. And then God said, it's not lawful for you to repeat that. John, in the book of Revelation, he heard thunders. He saw seals. He heard trumpets. He saw vials. And he heard thunders. And like he did before, he started to write this picturesque language of what the thunders said. The declaration, now he's going to write it. And God said, don't write it. Don't write it. That's just for you. So just because somebody or God shows you something, it may be that He wants you to share it. Maybe He doesn't. But the important thing is that you see it. It clicks together. God says something. Oh, yeah. The Bible says that God heals. You should see people get healed. If the Bible says that He saves to the uttermost, you ought to be able to see people coming out of the gutter and becoming Christians and cleaning up. And begin to learn how to follow Christ. It takes time and to walk with God. And you see sinners that are living for the world, living for the devil. And then God touches their heart. And you see people coming into the church that want to serve God, that weren't serving God before. What is that? That's a picture. That's a show of what He already told you. Isn't that wonderful? You didn't make any noise when I said that. I don't know how that went over. Praise God. He's a show and tell God. And I think it's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Now in Jeremiah, I'll give you one more example. Jeremiah 33:3. We'll put that on the wall. Look at this. Call unto me and I will answer you. There's your word. Speak, Lord. He will. God's talking to you. He's talking to you. Call unto me. Pick it up. That call unto God and He will speak to you. He will answer you. But he's going to do something else. There's two things in that verse. What's the second one? Call unto me and I will answer you and show thee. Isn't that wonderful? It's the spiritual life. And it doesn't, it's not valid only if other people see it. It may be for public consumption. It may be a public thing. Maybe something happened right here, like the baptism. Baptism for all of you. All of you will see the same thing. But in your personal relationship with God, as you walk with Jesus Christ, God wants to show you great and mighty things. He wants to show you, because if He can show you and you'll look at it, nobody will ever talk you out of it. You will not be a wishy-washy Christian. You had an experience. You had a vision. Without vision, people will perish. You can't just tell people about God. God wants to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect towards Him. God wants to show off. If you were to do that, you'd be accused of being a braggart or an audacious person, or, you know, people wouldn't like you if you acted like God. But God is the only one that's worthy to brag. He really is. He wants you to glorify Him. God's not supposed to be humble. We're supposed to be humble. You know why? Because you're not God. And you need Him in a way that He doesn't need you. So we're supposed to be humble. And He loves us with an everlasting love. And He wants to show His little children a book with pictures. He wants to show you as well as tell you. That's because God loves you. And so Jesus was this way. Jesus was not, He's humble. He's humble in His earthly ministry. And He's meek and lowly. He comes riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. He shows His humanity with humility. But there are times He says, before Abraham was, I am. He that heareth my word shall never die. Now this guy is either God in the flesh or he's a nut. He's not a good teacher if he's not the Son of God. He said some of the most audacious thing. If you believe in my word, you'll never die. You'll have everlasting life. Moses saw my day and rejoiced. He wants you to be impressed to the extent that nobody can cause you to change your mind about Jesus. That you'll go through the fire with Jesus. You'll suffer for Him. You'll be even a martyr if God calls you to do it. You know why? Because you have seen the glory of God. You have seen the works of God. You have seen examples. God is not telling you to trust in something that there's no evidence for. Do you know that? If there were evidences for evolution, I'd believe it. I have evidence of God's creation, so therefore that's what I believe. God's not asking you to believe something without any demonstration. I'm so glad for that, because I like to see stuff. I hate a manual that tells me how to put together a grill that doesn't have some pictures in it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Don't you just hate putting stuff together? I think these stores that promise you, I see an ad or a commercial on TV where they say, you don't have to put this grill together, just come and we'll build it for you and we'll deliver it for you and give you some fuel just to buy it from us. I like that. Want to get a grill and you got a big old box that'll break your back picking it up, and you open that box and it's just horrible. It's almost like, you know, I think I'll just cook my food in the oven in the house. I think of that because that's what we did one time on my deck. It was just, I want to look at the pictures and diagrams. And even then, it's a chore. Because sometimes these instructions that come from another culture and another country, some of those, this is a foreign Chinese product And the instructions were Chinese, translated into English by someone that didn't know English very well. And so I'm reading English, but it's like, obviously the English is not too good. So you're special. And so the text sometimes, it says, put the screw in the second hole. And you say, okay, one, two, and it doesn't work. The picture doesn't match the text. The text tells you one thing and the picture doesn't correspond. It just drives you nuts. And a lot of people have religion, and their religion is exactly like trying to put something together with the instructions from another culture and language and another world. Theoretical stuff. Text. Theory. That when I read a phrase, no picture comes to mind. And much of theology is presented from, now if you like cerebral thinking and you just, you know, and it's just theoretical, fine. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. But I want you to know that's not God's will for you, is to stay on that level of just concepts and words and telling you. God wants to show you. And then as you turn and represent Him, He wants you to show other people as well. He doesn't want you just to be a blabbermouth and you don't show the fruit and you don't show people what it is to live for God. You've heard people say, you know, I'm just tired of being preached at. We've heard this. We've heard this before, that it's just as important to tell people to be a Christian, or it's just as important, I should say, to show people how. What it is like to serve the Lord by the way you deport yourself and the way you speak and the way you conduct yourself and your honesty and your integrity, your love for God. Like my friend in the elevator, they definitely knew where he stood. But, you know, we're to show as well. That's what a witness is. Do you know that's what a witness is? You shall be my witnesses. And a witness is a person who shows and tells. They will know you are my disciples when they see the love that you have one for another. Jesus said, you're a city that's on a hill that cannot be hid. You're not talking about talking. Even we're to do that. We're to preach. We're to talk. But sometimes Jesus is talking about the show part. He said, you are a city. He's talking to His disciples. You're a city, a light on a hill that cannot be hid. So let your light shine in all of the world that the world may see your good works. Why? God wants people to see. God wants to make it like we want it for our children. He wants to make it the most effective way of revealing Himself to you, just like we do with children. Everyone would write a book for kids, gotta have some pictures in it. Give a little kid an encyclopedia and say, here, learn how to read. When I was a kid, first book I had talked about Jack and Jill. And the text said Jack and Jill went up the hill. Do you know what they did? Why they went up there? Anybody remember that? Right. But you know what? In my mind, I can still see that picture of those Jack and Jill children with a bucket. I can see that even right now. How many of you have something comparable to that from your childhood? It's a picture and the text together. God, as our Father, wants to do the same for you. Where there's no vision, people will perish. Except a man be born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus, he cannot see. God must want us to see something. In Acts 2, we find a quote from Joel. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Ooh, what that's going to be like. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That's good. Come right out of their mouth. And your young men shall see. And your old men shall dream dreams. Oh, dreams. You have dreams? What is a dream? It's a showing experience. that's probably 99% of the time worthless. But some dreams mean things. And God has always traditionally used visions and dreams for special people to do special things, like a prophet. Have you ever noticed that the big heroes of the faith that God called to do great things, great people of faith, great heroes of the faith, Hebrews 11, go through that, God showed them things that were indelibly stamped upon their brain and upon their mind and upon their heart. And you can cut their throat, you can threaten them, you can pull their fingernails out, but they will not renounce Christ. God is sick and tired of wishy-washy Christians that can't stand up, can't suffer for Christ, can't be committed. Every little inconvenience knocks them out of church or knocks them out of prayer, knocks them out of the Bible. The world, especially our country, in the Western world, we're filled with Christians, so-called Christians, who sway from one position to another and could never be counted on to be a martyr for Christ. And Jesus told his disciples, if the world hates me, it will hate you. Look out, be careful, watch and pray, because if they came after me, they're coming after you. You got to be committed. No wonder Jesus, in training those 12 disciples, didn't just talk. It was like Jesus to those 12, watch this. He didn't say, hold my beer, because that wouldn't be appropriate. But Jesus showed off to those disciples. He wanted them with him. When he was transfigured, he took three with him. When he went in to raise the dead, Jairus' daughter, he wanted some of them to go in with him. He wanted other people to get out. I want you to see it. These other people that don't believe me, I want you to get out of the room. Get out of the bedroom. Just me and my disciples, maybe the parents and the little dead girl. Everybody else, get out. But you're special. You're disciples. You're the cream of the crop. You're my people. I'm going to show you things that'll blow your mind. I'm going to show you that which will verify the fact that I am God's only Son. And you will never be persecuted to the point that you'll recant. You will die for me. Because you saw me heal the sick. You saw me raise the dead. You saw what it's like to forgive an adulterous woman. You saw me forgive her. Go! And even as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Do thou likewise, he said. Do thou likewise. The Bible says, I will show wonders in the heavens. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And Jesus said, when people of the world see, because they're going to see things too, when the people of the world see that come to pass, their hearts will fail them for fear. Will your heart fail you for fear? When you see civilization crumble, when you see socialism and communism coming into democratic nations, and authoritarian dictatorship, and civil rights, and liberty, and freedom that we've taken for granted so long, and that's going to be removed, and a man of sin is going to rise up that's going to be full of the devil, that's going to rule the nations just for a little while. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to be mush? Or is your feet planted on a solid rock? Somebody comes to me and says, there are no children's books that have Jack and Jill in them anymore. I don't care. I know they used to be. No, we have no record of Jack and Jill. Revisionists, that's what they're doing to our history. That's what they're doing to our culture. They're just wiping it clean like it never happened. Even with Jack and Jill, nobody can convince me that I didn't read about them and see pictures of them. It's real. It's real. And a lot of other things, because I saw. I saw. Let your light so shine. God wants people to see. I'll show. I'll show. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. If you were to survey Christians today and say, just a survey, a poll. Are you a Christian? Yes. No. Okay. You that are. Do you believe God is a God of miracles? Do you believe the Bible teaches that? Anybody that knows anything about the Bible say the Bible teaches that God is a God of miracles. Here's another question in the poll. Do you believe God has changed? Anybody that knows anything, even if they're not living for God, if they know anything about the Bible, you say, if I were to guess, I would guess that God doesn't change. Even knuckleheads would tell you, doesn't sound right to say God changes. People change? Oh, yes. Yeah, we change. How about God? Does he change? No. Did he do miracles? Well, the Bible says he did. Do you believe he's different? No, God's same. So God does miracles today. And then that's where the crawfishing starts coming in. Even though it's logical, if you go back and build it step by step, does the Bible describe a God of miracles and a God that shows his handiwork, that shows his power, that shows his love? Yes. Next question. Do we serve the same God, or is there a substitute put in there somewhere since the Bible was written? And so now our God is... I would guess that God is the same. Then how many miracles have you seen in your life as a Christian? Have you seen anything? I'm sure you have. How many of you here are Christians? You love God? Yeah. Maybe everyone, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know your hearts. But if you've been serving God for any length of time, you've seen miracles whether you knew it or not. If you're a genuine Christian, I promise you, God has done great and mighty things for you. And you may not have recognized it as a miracle. You may have said coincidence. But some of you are alive today because God spared your life. He saved you. It was a miracle. Is a miracle. I'm here today because of a miracle. A bona fide, verifiable miracle. I'm alive. I've seen the power of God. But you know what? I haven't seen near what I want to. Because when you see and you know that God shows things, it produces this craving to see more. The realization that God is a God of show as well as a God of tell will get you really excited. Some of you are starting to get excited. Some of you, you ain't got there yet, but you will. God's moving on your heart. God has ordained that you hear this message this morning. It's God's will that I talk about it because this is what's on my heart. I'm not talking to you about something that I got from somebody else, some old dusted stuff that I blew the dust off and brought out some old stale word. Let me tell you, this is right off the griddle. Not off that grill that I had to put together. But I'm talking about a real grill. Real fire. Right? Praise God. I can tell you this morning that God can do anything. He's an awesome God. And we need to get excited about it. Trust Him. Get out there on the limb a little bit when you're talking to people at work and at school and people especially that don't know Christ. Stand up for God. See what He'll do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for your word. And thank you for showing us great and mighty things.